Blog Talk Radio.
Just
just literally, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And then, you know, I was going back and forth over the weekend on social media. You know, we have a property, those that listen to the show on a routine basis. And by the way, if you want to call in and join a conversation, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. These guys were making these unbelievable, I mean, you know, I'm not surprised about anything, man. I'm middle-aged. I've been around for a while. And I grew up in interracial neighborhoods all my life. And watched neighborhoods go from predominantly white to predominantly black. I mean, I literally have lived history. And a lot of us don't realize that actually we're living history. We don't even realize it. Just like these kids that got out there, hashtag March for Our Lives, the March for Our Lives. That's history. You know, I mean, the mall was packed. It was almost on equivalent to anything that we've seen. The Million Men, the Million Women, I mean, you name it. The March on Washington. I mean, it's up there with that. And, you know, I was telling some family members, some friends, and that revolution has always been fostered by youth. It really has. Any of the major revolutionary movements here in this country were spearheaded by young people. So this is not, you know, unusual for these kids, you know, some as young as, 9, 10, 11 years old, and, you know, very articulate, poised, and involved. And I just hope that they can sustain the passion until they become of age, you know, where they're voting. And what we will have the country that we want back, not going backwards, but the country that we were on a road to having, one that's progressive and egalitarian, one that's, you know, where equality is important, not, you know, a certain segment of the population having all the wealth and everyone else struggling. And, you know, I'm at this point, you know, where these guys were attacking me, primarily white ethnics, you know. And, you know, because they know, they instinctively know how I feel, which is I don't, I'm not an apologist for bigots or bigotry. And I speak my mind, and I know that a lot of these guys support Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker and crew. And I'm not letting them off the hook by saying that the issues that Baltimore, an example, is encountering, you know, with crime and urban decay and that sort of thing is strictly attributable to the people who live there. That's nonsense. And I mean, it got really ugly, as you may well suspect. You know, because Whitey doesn't like to be called out on his racism. It's that simple. And I decided at this point in my career, you know, irrespective of how much it might cost me personally or professionally, to be honest, in confronting racism, to not become an accommodationist, a gradualist, not to in any way co-op or compromise my message, because I believe it's you know, someone. You know, I don't have a lot to lose. I have everything I want in life. I really do. So I could care less if I miss a lucrative opportunity because I speak about issues that others are afraid to speak about. And, you know, I was talking to a guy I used to have a relationship with, Tony Whitehead. He used to teach at the University of Maryland. And we've fallen out since. He's a tough old bird. And very opinionated, obviously, you know, a PhD in anthropology, a master of public health, University of Pittsburgh. So, you know, you really can't talk to him. He talks at you. and if you didn't just sit there and listen to everything he had to say, a lot of it was conspiracy theories, but there was a lot of fact in the conspiracy theories that he used to espouse. So I often listened to him. I never had the opportunity to interview him. I wish I did. He lived in the D.C. area, and I should have reached out, but I didn't. By the way, let me first, and this show is dedicated to Carl Payne, former Newsday editor, Les Payne, who passed away Friday. And we had Les on the show, and Les is one of my idols. He wasn't a radio man; he was a newspaper man, and a newspaper's newspaper man. Not only was he started out in the Beat in Long Island, which, as anyone knows, is really a hard place to, you know, be a black newspaper reporter. Grew up out there, and I can tell you it's tough. And you know, two boroughs in New York City sit on Long Island, Brooklyn and Queens. Brooklyn sits on the westernmost edge, and followed by Queens, and then you have the two counties, Nassau and Suffolk. I was born in Nassau County, grew up in Suffolk County, and spent the vast majority of my adult life in Queens and Brooklyn, and subsequently, you know, went overseas and that sort of thing, and then returned and lived in a few other states, and then came back to start the business, East New York Management, in 90 or 91, 92, somewhere around there. So I spent, you know, a substantial portion of my life out there. So I know that Les went through a lot. And, you know, they have, as a matter of fact, I would urge the listeners to read his obit. Newsday did a great obit on him, and New York Times did a fantastic obit on him. But this show was dedicated to Les Payne. We, you know, again, we had him on the show, and he was due to come back. And this is why I tell everyone all the time, constantly, you know, especially my loved ones, that you cannot take life for granted. You cannot take one day for granted. You have to tell your loved ones that you love them. There's nothing embarrassing about it, or not even if you're not, you know, mushy and sentimental, you know. Just give them a hug, a pat on the head, something innocuous that, you know, doesn't offend your sensibilities. But certainly let them know that you care about them, because you might not be here tomorrow, or they might not be here tomorrow, and certainly that's what I do. I don't take anything or anyone for granted, and I have people that I care deeply about, as we all do. And those people know I'm not the lovey-dovey type guy. Hey, I love you. Oh, my God, you know, and that sort of thing. But certainly they know because of how I treat them or attempt to treat them. Some people defy your ability to treat them nicely, but at any rate, that's another show. So this show is dedicated to former Newsday editor Les Payne, who made his transition on Friday, died of a massive heart attack. I believe Les was 74, 75, around my father's age. And most black men, that's when we go, that age range. You know, I have a friend of mine on an aside, and I want to do a show on this, and I am going to do a show on this. I might even have him call in. He's very prominent funeral director. We're good buddies. And I have been with him. He used to, you know, run the Philly beat. In other words, he used to do all the funeral homes in Philly before he branched out on his own. And, you know, from what all objective accounts, he's doing fairly well. I was very proud to see that. You know, you always want to see your friends upgrade. And he did a lot of work on his house, you know. We had houses, you know, across the street from each other at one point, and that's how I met him. He had banged on my garage door. I was in the garage doing some work and asked me to help him carry something in, and, you know, that was 12, 13 years ago, and we've been very good buddies ever since. So, at any rate, I used to go, and I'm not a great fan of dead folk, you know, but you don't have to worry about them. It's the living ones you have to worry about. And, you know, virtually, you know, all these guys, you know, I know it's anecdotal and it's biographical, and I don't have any data to substantiate my suspicions, but yeah, I believe because, you know, like in my case, you know, until I just really said, hey, man, you know, I'm not gonna allow you know this stuff to stress me and you know the weight of the world on my shoulders and that sort of thing. You know, a lot of it has to do with stress and you know inability to you know have access to the same opportunities as other ethnicities, other races that you know creates. You know, because I was talking to my you know, my people, you know, and their father, you know, struggled all his life. You know, he was self-employed, a contractor, you know, self-taught, and made a decent enough living that he was able to support a family of six, really. And that's what we used to be able to do. And now, however, you see a lot of other ethnicities during those jobs. I remember going to church years and years and years and years ago. I was a little tyke, and the church was in Amityville. Does anyone know about Long Island? That's where Donnie McKirkland, a famous gospel singer, and Donnie and I are, you know, roughly the same age. I'm Asian, dating myself, wasn't it? You know, okay. Donnie and I are roughly the same age, so we know all the same people. And I knew when Donnie returned from Detroit, Pastor Donnie McKirkland. He had a church in Freeport for a while, and you guys didn't know that I take these diversions. Just follow me. I'll get back on track in a second. So at any rate, we attended a church in Amityville, and I grew up in Wyandanche. At any rate, there was a guy that attended the church. I don't know if he was one of the founding members, but I assume he was. His name was Mr. Ford or the Fords. You know, we called everybody the Fords or the, you know, the Ridgefields or, you know, whatever. And in the back of his house, we used to go over there frequently, you know, because my parents were friends with, they were founding members of this church. It's still there, as a matter of fact, very small. AME Zion. I'm no longer AME Zion, but I am still AME. And both those congregations or denominations agreed to not merge, they remained separate, but agreed to recognize each other. I don't know how that works, because you know, I thought they would recognize each other anyway as a matter of being Protestant denominations. But he used to have all these dump trucks and tractors and things behind his house because he was doing landscaping. Now, if you do landscaping or see landscaping, it's done primarily by Hispanics. I don't know if they're Mexicans. I don't want to say it's all Mexicans. It's just like, you know, I have a family member that calls all Asians Chinese. And I said, well, how do you know that person is Chinese? They could be Filipino. They could be Korean, Thai. You know, they could be Cambodian, Laotian. They could be any number of Asian ethnicities, you know. So at any rate, I don't want to say all Mexicans, but the Mexicans or the Hispanics have dominated over the last, just taken over the last 20 or even 30 years, you know, and certainly this is going back quite a bit further than that, jobs that, or, you know, how would I say, areas that we used to exploit as, you know, as businesses, you know, not barbering and stuff like that, hairdressing. Those fields are still, you know, because they're ethnocentric, you know, you have to, you don't have to, but typically, you know, a black woman is not going to go to even a Dominican who is, you know, arguably black to get her hair done simply because the hair is different, and plus a lot of sisters want other stuff going on with their hair. And again, that's another show. Let's take a break, come back on the other side of the break, finish talking about this. It's 10:50. You're tuned into Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurbs, and spots that are tight, hot, and funky. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're tuned in to Marketing Pulp International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, at 10:51 a.m. Monday, March 26, 2018. 37 degrees and sunny here in Brooklyn, New York. And I was talking on the other side of the break about, you know, how, you know, because there's, you know, a lot of brothers are talking about why they support Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker simply because, you know, he's for, quote, unquote, making America great again. And, you know, all these slogans, there's a lot of sloganeering, you know, governed by decree, you know, campaign by slogan, that sort of thing. And in that particular, in that narrow instance, they are correct that a lot of those you know, in that specific, well, I can't say that because that's a broad generalization. There's only, we can't extrapolate broadly from that one industry, or it's not even an industry, that one area, which is landscaping. But I do know that African-Americans used to have a corner on that market. They really did. You know, and even I, as a child, you know, I used to cut lawns and that sort of thing to earn my extra money. And then, you know, like I don't know what happened. I just know that I don't know if it was illegal immigration or not, but, you know, or all of a sudden now, you know, it's you rarely see African-Americans doing that sort of work any longer. And my pastor was saying, he's a young guy in his mid-40s, and he was, you know, talking about personal responsibility and that sort of thing. And he was saying all this grass that needs to be cut, and, you know, because of guys that apparently are, you know, not holding up their end of the bargain or not pulling their weight or being providers. And I was, you know, and this is what I would say to a lot of these, you know, these white guys that, you know, get on social media or get on air or whatever, and, you know, talk about personal responsibility. I say, hey, you know, you got to be careful here, you know, because, you know, a lot of times it's not that simple. You know, fortunately for me, you know, not only did I have not only professional college degrees, but professional degrees and a trade, you know, because I, you know, I've always been like that. I've always been a late bloomer, so I managed to amass a lot of skill sets and competencies. And I'm only saying that to say that, you know, one thing didn't work out for me. I was always able to go to another thing, so I never missed a beat, unless I wanted to, really. But that's me. That's in my particular case. That is not unique. I mean, that is not widespread. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're one-trick ponies. They can only do one thing, either badly or well. And so if they lose employment or their business folds as a consequence of whatever, you know, cause a lot of problems, and not the least of which is stress. And stress is a killer. And this is why I was talking about Derek. And I'm going to get Derek on the show because I do want to explore that, because I don't really know, but I just wanted to get his take on the situation. Take another break, finish up.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
Tuned into the Marketing Pulp International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman, 10:56 a.m. Monday, March 26, 2018, 37 degrees and sunny outside. And I was thinking on the other side of the break that there is just too much content out here. And how do you cut through the noise? How do you make your show stand out, get your content out? You know, you could do blogs, you could do blog talk radio, you could do YouTube. I mean, there's just so many avenues, so many that didn't used to exist. When I first started in radio, I started as a professional broadcaster on a number of stations, and I can tell you that, you know, the old terrestrial signal is still the best as far as I'm concerned, you know, where you're sitting in the studio, and I love AM over FM, even though FM is like the thing, you know. But AM used to be the signal. You know, I had a member of a group on Facebook that deals with radio strictly, and they had a station out in the Midwest. And I knew this; I just didn't know this particular station that had a 500 kilowatt signal. Can you imagine 500 kilowatt? That was stepping on everybody. You could, and they kept it. Up until, from what I understand, some of the equipment is still on location. Don't quote me as gospel at where this particular station is, but I know it was in either Missouri or somewhere in the Midwest. And with a signal that broad, that powerful, you could probably cover the entire United States and much of Canada and Mexico. I'm telling you. Because you think about it, CBS, 1010 Winds, and 880, even 770 in New York City. At night, if you want to play around with it, don't take my word as gospel, just play around with it, you know. If you're in other areas of the country, and, you know, especially not other areas of the country, but say, you know, east of the Mississippi, you know, but at a high elevation, you could get those stations, no problem, because they're all broadcasting to 50,000. Watts. So, you know, I think that's the direction that we want to go. We want to go back into the studio, terrestrial signal, as opposed to internet, even though it gives you a broader footprint for a lot of reasons. We're gonna investigate that. But meantime, you know, may you rest in peace, Les Payne. God bless. You guys have a great week, and we'll be back next week at the same time, 10:30. Mark and Pulpit International, New York. Cheers.
Coincidence, nations always at war. soft part of the man. Yeah. It's no coincidence, things ain't making no sense. Like shit. It's no coincidence. It's no coincidence. We paid for education.